The Money Show. Business Unusual.
Colin Cullis with Business Unusual this evening. Did you drive yourself? Did you walk? Or did your car miraculously deliver you seamlessly to the office today, Colin?
I am one of those that will welcome a car that can drive itself. I'm not a fan of driving cars. I just draw no inspiration from it. However, I think I'm in the minority. In fact, ahead of this and our discussion about autonomous vehicles, which seems like that's not business unusual anymore. It seems just so normal. But there is still a lot of stuff that needs to be done. So I asked everybody what their view was, and I gave them the options. I want one. They can't be trusted. But I like driving my car, and too expensive for me. And considering that the autonomous vehicle economy people would want you to say, well, I want one, that's only 25% of the people who've responded so far have said so. A good 28% have said they can't be trusted. Another quarter have said they like driving their car. And 23% say it's too expensive. But there is a reason why I raise this, and that is a prediction I recently read that I think actually makes a lot of sense for me. Do you know any children about age 5 at the moment?
I happen to know one rather well.
Okay.
At least one.
Okay.
And his friends.
Ask him or her what if they'd want to drive a car one day, because the prediction is that by 2030, cars will be autonomous sufficiently to the point.
Have I not told you the story about how my 5-year-old is completely fed up with my driving and his mother driving and sitting in the back seat saying, one day I'm going to be the driver? And being a caring, nurturing, sharing kind of dad, I turned around and went, well, by the time you're old enough to drive, you won't have to drive. Cars will drive themselves.
It might be worse than that.
This poor boy was deflated because all he wants to do is drive, this poor guy. But yes.
Yeah, then there might be bad news. So he will turn 18 in 2030, and the predictions, if they turn out to be correct, will not only mean that cars are pretty much all autonomous by then, but that the laws would have changed to not allow him to drive. That's this kind of shift as people are looking at it now.
Now, I mean, again, I look at that and I go, that is a consultant thumbsuck. Because there may be parts of the world, I can believe that maybe in Denmark, they'll be able to do that sort of enforcement of this high-tech, sort of very expensive technology, but surely not in a place like South Africa, which is going to be a slower adopter, surely, of these kinds of technologies.
Possibly. So if I started off by saying, okay, well, how many cars are going to likely be sold this year? Because you're right, making predictions is easy, following them up or justifying them, not so simple. Mm-hmm. And the prediction I got was 77 million. That's based on about 75 million that were sold last year, and they reckon 77 million. Africa doesn't even register as a segment, a region for global car sales because the numbers supposedly are so small. So your point is very valid that says, hang on, this will be some markets highly advanced and certainly implemented and other markets less so. However, when these things start shifting, and if you think about mobile phones, you know, yeah. South Africa would have been not being in the playing field when they first came out in Europe and America. But because they could be launched in Africa, you know, brand new, no old residual systems, they actually come in as pretty impressive right from the get-go. And if you look at, you know, penetration for mobile technology in Africa now, we rival anywhere else in the world. So I wouldn't be so quick to say that just because we don't currently have the advanced versions here, that in the next 10 or 15 years, and ultimately it's not that long a period of time, if you consider that even big companies like Facebook aren't even 15 years old, actually happen.
And also the future of motor cars isn't necessarily that we all own our own autonomous vehicle. I mean, this is the future of autonomous vehicles. Although individual vehicles may be expensive, they're going to have to be workhorses. They're going to have to earn their keep, and you're likely to have whatever the 2030 version of Uber is, operating autonomous vehicles with us either with the microchip embedded in our foreheads or in our thumbs, ordering our cars and telling our cars where we're going, and they will simply take us, drop us off and go and pick someone else up 5 minutes later.
Well, that's certainly the way that I think the shift will happen first. So consider this. If currently 25% of the people who responded to this poll said they like driving their cars, why would you want to go and create a solution for a problem no one has? If so many people like driving cars, don't try and sell them a car that drives itself. So they won't. They're going after the transport market, long-haul trucking, taxis, buses. These, and You used Uber there as an example. Uber has a significant proportion of the money it has to pay over that it'd like to keep for itself to drivers. Drivers that it hasn't even fully resolved what relationship they have with them. If they could simply have a car drive itself, get or recoup all of the costs for that. A car that can run 24 hours a day, only ever need to go into the shop when it kind of knows it needs some repairs or something. That's going to be a much more welcome sort of option for them. There's also a lot of other companies who are looking at Uber and saying, wow, they really have created an interesting sort of value proposition over there. We want some of that as well. So it's not just car manufacturers hoping to supply the likes of Uber with a car like that. Mercedes reckons they will supply the whole thing. And they reckon by 2020 they will have a taxi kind of car ready to go, fully autonomous. No driver in it at all. You simply climb in and go to where you want to go.
You look at the micro advances that are being made in autonomy. I was a BMW 5 Series recently sponsored the Shapeshifters feature on the Money Show, and they said to me, take the car for a couple of days and just experience it. And you start touching buttons and things, and you start trying to cross the middle line, and it pulls you back, and you start thinking, hold on a second, this thing knows the road, it's understanding the road. The thing that freaked me out, and I couldn't figure out how to work it, but there was a button on the key which was made by Samsung, so looks like a smartphone. It's a pretty hefty key, but that would allow the car to be reversed out of a tight parking space so that just a meter or two. So you push that button, the car reverses itself out of the parking space so that you can get into it. These are baby steps towards full autonomy.
In fact, the driver assistant stuff is here, and the incredible thing is you'll get things like that park assist in entry-level vehicles already. Really? Yeah. No, not expensive vehicles will really start having that in. And the sensors and the improvements to those sensors will come as, you know, regulations. And this is a big one where people have to look at it to get the approval. And I know you've had some fun with Siri and chatting away to try and get details there. Apple very recently got
Google
licenses.
Sorry.
Yes, I know
just,
that does
I'm just, I'm just triggering off people's phones.
Well, it's okay, Google. It's Hey Siri. So you can
Hey Siri.
Anyway.
Oh, she woke up on my phone.
Right.
Oh,
now,
my goodness me.
Now, Apple's been given licenses to start testing their own autonomous vehicles. I don't think Apple wants to make autonomous vehicles, but they understand that the new space for giving people entertainment will probably be a vehicle. So having software that will work inside a vehicle, knowing where you're going, what you're going to be looking at, and supplying you with all those ancillary sort of services will be a pretty big thing. I mean, Uber, as you know, already has an option for people when you sit in the car, and you've probably been in one or two of them. They've got a little display, and then people are able to put things on there, ads or stories or news bulletins or whatever else, and they know how long your trip is, so they can play you things that are going to fit for the length of time that you're in there. And that's how it goes. And the focus, though, on the transport industry, where it's like long-haul trucking and things like that, each of these computers learn a lot by just watching things. I mean, the Teslas have been able to roll out better and better autonomous driving simply by having the cars themselves watch how the drivers who are driving those cars use them, and then spreading the sort of the information that they've learned to all the other ones. Very impressive how quickly they learn this stuff. And let me ask you this. For an autonomous vehicle, what do you think the top speed is currently?
It's going to be something quite scary because you're asking the question. 140 kilometers an hour.
Not a bad guess. Try 257 kilometers an hour by the Neo EP9 recently on a racing track. And it's quite remarkable when you see the driver driving this around the track a couple of times and checking to see where the things are, then getting out the car and handing it over to itself. And off it goes. 257 kilometers an hour.
I like how the driver gets out of the car, doesn't stay in.
Yes, that's not a bad idea. And in fact, it's part of a thing called RoboRaces. They're actually going to start having an electric formula car. It's got no driver, no space for a driver even, and they're going to go and race each other. And you might think, well, that's still down to the best car and whatever else, but these cars are all going to be identical. Just the AI will different. And so the engineers are looking to try and create a clever and clever algorithm to get the cars around the track faster, slicker, less trouble, more efficient.
It's all about machine learning, and it's all about the world becoming increasingly dominated by machines that are making it up as they go along, human ways.
It is, but then there's obviously not everything's all sorted. So we don't really understand how AI learns things. And sometimes if you say, but hang on, that car is doing something, we're not quite sure why it's doing it, they can't tell you why that is. And because they're so connected to everything else around them, they can be hacked. And we've heard stories about the hacking before, and here's where it really starts to get a bit worrying. Recent terror attacks have used vehicles. And you can imagine, we've talked about this sort of virtual or cyber terrorism and cyber wars, you imagine people hacking fleets of buses or trucks or whatever else and then send them off in cities and places. You can get people panicked with operations like that. And for individuals or companies, you know, you're worried about having your car stolen. No one will have to steal your car. They'll just incapacitate. You won't be able to use it until you pay a ransom. Then you can get your car back. Hijacking done on a very, very fancy scale. But the big shift will probably come from laws, because the number one liability in a car for safety is the driver. And that's why I reckon that for the elderly and for the young, which includes your five-year-old, come 2030, when everything else is in place technically to allow these cars to do that, the way to make them actually safe is simply to ban us driving them.
I suspect you're right. It reminds me of the Henry Ford quote. You know the Henry Ford quote about giving people what they want? Isn't it along the lines of, because Henry Ford, of course, made mass automation possible, the invention of the production line. Didn't he say that if I'd asked people what they'd wanted, they would have asked me for a faster horse?
Indeed.
And instead, he didn't ask what they wanted, and he simply created the production line, the Model T Ford, and created a revolution. Perhaps that's precisely what's going to happen with autonomous vehicles. By 2030, will you even be allowed to drive? Colin Cullis, thought-provoking as always, with Business Unusual.